So, if you have your Bibles, please come with me to Matthew 25, let's put the PowerPoint up. That's the best way to do it. So I can't actually remember the particular verse. Matthew 25. Yeah. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." We are blessed by our Father in heaven when we do his kingdom work on earth. Now, this parable, or this, many people call it a parable, it's not particularly, but it's really Jesus, actually, it's about the final judgment. Who knows that each one of us is going to come before our master and actually be judged. That God, when we leave this place, we all get resurrected from our bodies. It's going to happen, and we're going to meet our Maker. And we're either going to be on the right or the left. Part of being on the right, Matthew 25 talks about, is actually being a part of helping those that have greater needs than ourselves. And so this morning, I want to pick up on what Rick Warren talked about in our 40 days. And he says, your ministry is your service to believers. Your mission is your service to unbelievers. You know, it is such a great thing that is happening, that people are getting a hold, and children you're hearing from Roy and Jane are getting a hold of the good news of the gospel. And that when they die, whether they die early or not in life, we're going to celebrate with them in heaven. How cool is that? That we don't do this for nothing. We don't have a Christian life that is reserved for ourselves. And part of the reason why I will do leap into spring to the day I die is because when we give to those that are more needy than us, we are actually serving, the Bible says, Christ himself. And so this morning, in the time I have, we may go slightly over, but that's all right, isn't it, every now and then, church? Some people ask me, there's some new families in our church have asked me recently, how long have we been going as a church? And I've said, about 16 years. And the first 7 years, we were close to extinction every year. So for the first 7 years, we were nearly extinct every time. We weren't sure if we were going to make it, were we, sweetheart? And Andrea, I've got a drip coming down, I have to avoid that. And my two small children at the time, we just simply as a family decided that we would keep chipping away with what God had asked us to do. Our leadership had said go to Fremantle, so we just kept chipping away. You know, sometimes when we just start chipping away, God starts to build our character and make us into something that is more powerful than we recognize. And at first it seems like nothing, but God, as we chip away, as we give to this area, as we give to Leap into Spring, as we continue to give to our future, by the way, you know, we don't give up on our future either, our future being building program. We commit to these things, and as we chip away, we start to see God move more and more powerfully in the house of God, because every time we bring an offering to him, a miracle can start to happen in your life and the life of others. And I firmly believe that one of the reasons we did not extinct is because we decided the poor and the needy were important, and that's why we started Port Care. What a fantastic you know, I was talking to Catherine. She's so pumped at the moment, Catherine, who Greg described as a saint, as part of our church. Big. See, God's purpose in your life is to be a giving person. There's only a few people actually saying amen here. God's purpose in your life is to be a giving person. See, I'm talking about time. Isn't it great that we can all have a serving role in the house of God? We can all be involved in the house of God. I'm talking about that when there's a need, that we can meet that need. And God has given us specific areas, then we can meet these needs. But I believe it's not going to happen just from our cash offering this year. It's going to happen from a commitment. It's going to happen by us chipping away month by month or fortnight by fortnight or whenever you get paid, so that we can bring in an offering that is worthy to God, that is going to break the shackles off your life, and you are going to say, God, I cannot believe what you're doing in my life, and it's because you're prepared to take an extra step and say, I'm trusting you, Lord. Now listen to this. In the time I haven't even got to where I want to get to. But I'm going to get there. See, the first part of Matthew 25, go there, if you just have a look at the first, rustle some pages, find it on your iPad or whatever you're using this morning. You know, I had to put my font up from 12 to 14, and now I still need my glasses to read it. What's going on? 47 has not been a good eye year for me. Five wise showed their wit. Now, let's talk about it. Sorry, for those of you who don't have a Bible. So that we've got 10 virgins. There's five foolish virgins, five wise virgins. They're invited to the ceremony of the wedding feast and to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom we know is Jesus, right? We're all clear on that. And so there was five wise and five foolish ones. And they took, the five wise took extra oil for their lamps. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's always good to have a relationship with God. It's always good to have a relationship with God. You see, this isn't just about oil. This is actually about making sure that you are in the right spirit with God, that you have a connection to him, because then you are not going to miss the day of his coming. See, Jesus is talking about this before he goes to the cross. He's making sure that we understand. And they took extra oil for their lamps. They would be ready for him. The foolish women neglected to do so, and so they were very late in finding oil for their lamps. But by that time, the door had been closed, and they could not enter into the marriage feast. And we know, too, from the end of the chapter, that Jesus has begun speaking into the coming back for his people. Who's glad Jesus is coming back? Jesus is coming back, church. He is coming back. One thing is certain, Jesus is coming back. Another one is you're going to be resurrected into the heavens. And the third one is there's going to be a judgment. Too many people don't realize that. They think, well, whatever happens, you know, it's just going to be good. We need to have a relationship with our Father. So, this is the similarities of all ten. All ten women had been given invitations. All ten women were anticipating the occasion. All ten had responded that they were attending the wedding. And despite their affection for the bridegroom, doesn't this just show that we're human? All ten still became drowsy and fell asleep. But suddenly, when the bridegroom came, the similarities vanished because five had oil in their lamps and five were unprepared. You and I need to be ready for the bridegroom's return. And although all ten appeared to be ready for his return, when he did actually appear, there was an immediate distinction. How are you to know if you are in one camp or the other? It flows out from this parable and is continued by Jesus. See, he starts, and you could even take this to the next parable before he talks about the final judgment, which we'll look at next week, about the wise stewards and those not so, and the one that wasn't so wise. It flows out from this parable, is continued by Jesus when he speaks of the final judgment and the real condition of the human heart. God is speaking to every human heart, saying, get this right, guys. And let me point to a few observations from the ten virgins. All the bridesmaids, I've got the PowerPoint for this, Jess. All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. The life of the Lord Jesus within is not transferable. You have to have your own walk with God. Each and every one of us has to have a living relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot rely on our wife's salvation. Cannot rely on my mum and dad's salvation. We are actually asked to have a relationship, each and every one of us, and that's why we do baptism here. We're fully immersed because we want every person to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ for themselves. But then the others replied, look at this, we don't have enough for all of us. We cannot be saved by the life of Christ in another. You cannot be saved because you're a part of a church that gives it and think you can just, well, I'm a part of this church, but really I'm not participating in what's going on. And the five wise virgins refusing to give to the oil to the five foolish may appear uncharitable, maybe even selfish. But the story is moving not on that level. It is moving on a far deeper level that Christ is communicating. He's communicating the end of the earth. He's communicating the end of time when we go to be with him. And so on the day of Christ's return, each person must stand on his own. Lost opportunities cannot be regained. Aren't you glad that we have opportunities in this church to be a giving church and help those in need? Aren't you glad that we can stand for the word of God through our future program and say, I believe in the house of God being planted here in Fremantle. I'm looking forward to its growth and to its health for a long, long time come. See, the Lord always comes without warning. And the five went to find oil, but the Lord had come. And Jesus is giving us ample warning in his word to be ready for his return. We are ready to meet him because, like the five wise virgins, we are living in faith. A dead faith can't save you. And Jesus is coming back for those living in faith. Come on, will you be living in faith with me, church? We have an opportunity here to be living in faith together and saying, yeah, I'm going to help those in need. I'm going to bring something that God has put on my heart to bring in a cash offering. I'm going to bring also a faith promise that it will stretch me, but I'm going to trust God in, and that I'm going to see the power of God operating in my life. I'm prepared to live in faith and not just be a Christian that just sits in a chair and sees everything wonderful but never actually gets involved in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is to be lived. Are you getting the point of what the seriousness of what Jesus is saying in this whole chapter? Look at this. Matthew 25, 34 to 36, then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. I would like to think that every single person in this room is going to give you on the right-hand side of God and say, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Look at this, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Only you really know which side of the fence you are on, because this is something between you and God. We can't judge you. That's not our role. God loves every person equally. And the life of faith, as I've said, is not transferable. There are certain opportunities we must respond to if we are going to live the life of faith. And one of the greatest responsibilities we have been given by our Lord is in our giving. You know, being a Christian is expensive. If you think it's you can just be a cheapskate, you're in the wrong auditorium. I'm telling you, God is not a Scrooge. God has given us life. He sacrificed his own son on the cross. He said, this is the example that you must follow. You must sacrifice. If you want to be a Christian, you will live for me. You will give for me. Now, not all of us can go to Southeast Asia, but I'll tell you what, we can get involved in sending our finances to that place. and we can be a part of the blessing of that nation. See, Jesus makes very clear in this chapter that we're not simply saved by faith, but by applying our faith through what we are able to do for others. And my job as your pastor is to help lead you through areas that help build his kingdom life within you. Who's glad that that's part of my role? Some of you. Sometimes you've got to stretch. Sometimes we've got to step out of the boat. And I know sometimes, you know, like you, wherever you've come from, there's new areas. What's Pastor saying? I'm saying that we live a life that is actually committed to the kingdom purposes of God for us. And that involves helping the poor and the needy. It involves being a generous person. Because it counts on Judgment Day. Jesus talks about this. It counts on Judgment Day. Will you be ready? Will you have your lamps burning, your faith alive, poised to serve and give, just as Christ gave his all for us? Why don't we stand to our feet for a moment? Father, I pray for every person. I pray for us as a whole. I thank you for the vision that you have given us. I thank you that we can be a blessing, Father. Lord, both locally and internationally. I thank you, Lord, for every person here represented today and every family represented. And I pray, Father, that we would live in faith, that we would not neglect our responsibility in being a Christian. Lord, that we have... You have given us, in fact, a purpose, and that purpose is to be a generous person. The purpose is to go beyond these four walls and be a blessing. Our purpose is to live the Jesus life. We are not just to have faith, we are to walk and live in our faith. Father, I pray today that each and every person, that you will bless them. You will love them. You will care for them. And as we step out in faith, like Peter did, he stepped out of the boat, Lord, but you rescued him. Father, you never let your people down. You won't let us drown. You will help us. You'll give us new ideas. You will put things into our hearts that we can do to provide more income. You will be able to show us with fresh eyes the future ahead and lead us through all the trials and tribulations that we are facing and the circumstances we have, because as we trust you, we will see your blessing come into our life. So we commit this whole thing to you, society. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going to be wise. Our lamps are going to be full. They're going to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of oil, full of relationship. And God, we look forward to being on the right-hand side of the Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. People of God said, amen. You may be seated for a moment. So August 26th, what are we doing on August 26th? We're taking up a cash offering. Who's looking forward to that? Come on. Yeah, we're also taking up our faith promises. If you came in late and still need a slip, please see an usher on your way out this morning. And we're going to celebrate together. We're going to have a fantastic lunch together. We're going to enjoy all the different nationalities, all their different foods that they... And so we're going to have a great time after church on the 26th of August. Who enjoys eating in wintertime? Now... You know, if 100 people give, we've got it on the back of your cards as well, but if 100 people give $500, we have reached our target. This is achievable. But I'm not looking at it like, okay, I'm just going to give them. What does God want you to give, both in cash and in faith promise? I'm really asking, take this to the Lord. Take it as a family and say, Lord, what can we give? And trust God with that. Andrew and I always do the same thing. We ask God together, what amount should we be giving and how are we going to make this happen? I want to talk about this a little bit next week. I don't know about you, but I want to live for eternity, don't you? Let's live for eternity. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Thank you.